When I was in my college years, and quite frankly not living the life that I should have, I would come home to my parents' house after a night of debauchery around 2 or 3 a.m. I would sneak downstairs into the basement where my room was and turn the television on with the volume low so as not to wake up my parents. This was the late 80s and early 90s, and I grew up in the city, which meant we had cable television. And in our case, we had all the movie channels that were available. I would often fall asleep watching an 80s horror film. This was how I saw all the Freddy Krueger movies, the Hellbound series, and I must have seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space at least a dozen times. But every now and then, I would watch The 700 Club, an evangelical Christian show hosted by Pat Robertson. At the end of every show, they would have the Come to Jesus talk with those watching the program. They would invite anyone who wanted to pray the, quote, sinner's prayer. Then they would say, if you pray that prayer, or if you need someone to pray for you, please call this number. We have people standing by who will pray for you. Now, I live in a very evangelical Christian area, and periodically I will see billboards saying, if you need prayer, call this number, and there are people standing by to pray for anyone who calls. Which is a good thing. After all, St. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men. And Jesus says in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Now, I point all of this out to show that it is a basic Christian understanding that Christians should pray for each other and that it is okay to ask other Christians to pray for you. In fact, I would say it is a necessity for living the Christian life. Yet how many times have we Catholics been asked by these same Christians who ask other Christians to pray for them and advertise for people to ask them for prayer, why do you have to go to Mary? Why can't you just go to Jesus? And then quote 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But what's the difference? All we are doing is asking Mary or any other saint for that matter to pray for us, just like you would ask any Christian to pray for you. Mary is a Christian, and last I checked, she falls under the category of man. So asking her to pray for you is no different than asking the little old lady in the church, your pastor, your congregation, or calling a prayer hotline and asking them to pray for you. Why can't you just go to Jesus? The reality is you can and we can, but we both know that prayer is more efficacious if we take other Christians with us. If asking Mary to pray for me violates the unique mediation of Christ to the Father, then so does asking any other Christian to pray for me. The unique mediation of Christ for man to the Father is the crucifixion, which cannot be, quote, violated. Satanists have been trying to undo or violate the crucifixion for centuries. And all the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary or anyone else would have absolutely no effect without the satisfaction and atonement won by Christ on the cross. That's what that means. We can't get to the Father without Jesus, regardless of who we ask to pray for us. But a symbiotic relationship exists among Christians. We need each other, yes, in temporal matters, but also in spiritual matters as well. Protestants understand this in regards to the church militant, the living members of the church, but Catholics have a deeper understanding. We recognize that this community of Christians, this connection we have, includes those who are in heaven and purgatory as well. Because the church is not just on earth, it's in heaven and in purgatory as well. And we see this relationship with those in heaven play out in Scripture. In the book of Hebrews, Paul goes through a long list of Old Testament heroes. Then he says this, Hebrews 11:39 and 40. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The book of Revelation shows that the angels and saints in heaven are already involved in our prayer life. Revelation 5:8 says, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp, and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8:3 says, And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. And David prayed to angels. Psalm 103 reads, "Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word. Hearken to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will." And Psalm 148 says, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him on heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. There are prayers to saints in the Christian catacombs, especially to Saints Peter and Paul. One reads, "O Peter and Paul, intercede for all of us." And, "Peter and Paul, in your prayers, keep in mind. Peter and Paul, intercede for Leontius. Peter and Paul, forever intercede for Dativus." And on and on. The earliest known prayer to Mary is from a Coptic liturgy which dates to around 250 AD. It reads, "Beneath your compassion we take refuge, O Theotokos," which means God-bearer. "Do not despise our petitions in time of trouble, but rescue us from dangers, only pure, only blessed one." The early church fathers confirmed this practice of praying to the saints. The Shepherd of Hermas in 80 AD reads, "The shepherd said, but those who are weak and slothful in prayer hesitate to ask anything from the Lord, but the Lord is full of compassion and gives without fail to all who ask him. But you, Hermas, having been strengthened by your holy angel and having obtained from him such intercession and not being slothful, why do you not ask of the Lord understanding and receive it from him?" Clement of Alexandria writes, "In this way is he, the true Christian, always pure for prayer. He always prays in the society of angels, as being already of angelic rank, and he is never out of their holy keeping. And though he pray alone, he has the choir of the saints standing with him in prayer." Origen wrote in 233 AD, "But not the highest priest, Christ alone, prays for those who pray sincerely, but also the angels, and also the souls of the saints who have already fallen asleep." Methodius, in 305 AD, says, "Hail to you forever, Virgin Mother of God, our unceasing joy. For to you do I turn. Hail, you treasure of the love of God. Hail, you font of the Son's love for man." Now I think Protestants and evangelicals see asking saints to pray for you as different from asking a living Christian to pray for you. They see it more like you're going to that person instead of Jesus, and this is for a couple of reasons. One, the person is dead, which I will address in a moment. And two, the practice is expressed as praying to someone. The Protestant might say, "I don't pray to my pastor when I ask for prayer, like you Catholics admittedly pray to Mary." Prayer means worship. Actually, prayer means to make a request, not worship, and I'll prove it. Do you have your King James Bible handy? Not the new one, the old one. You know, the one that sounds like Shakespeare? Open it to 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 13 reads, "And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And he said, Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shammonite to wife." Was Adonijah worshiping Bathsheba? The reality is, 400 years ago, that is how you would have expressed asking your pastor for prayer, that you prayed to him. It was only a few centuries ago that English-speaking Protestants decided that prayer meant worship. Sorry, we didn't get the memo. Of course, they will also say, the person is dead, and the Bible forbids conjuring the dead. Deuteronomy 18:10 through 11. "There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, or anyone who practices divination, a soothsayer, an augur, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a wizard, or a necromancer." Yes, conjuring the dead is a serious violation of the first commandment, and completely different from asking a saint to pray for you. For one thing, you can't actually conjure and talk to the dead. God does not allow it. God has fixed an impenetrable barrier between the living and the dead, preventing communication back and forth. It's only those rare occasions that he wills it that a saint or soul in purgatory makes contact with the living, and even then, only the church can discern if it's authentic, because it's most likely not. But when you go to a psychic or medium or play with a Ouija board or hold seances, it's not your dead grandmother you're talking to. She doesn't exist in this world anymore. It's a demon who does. Satan and his demons were cast not into hell, not yet. They were cast down to earth. They're here and she's not. She's either in heaven, hell, or purgatory and not allowed to speak to you. Also, when people conjure the dead, a direct connection to the deceased is desired. You ask questions, it answers. And the why is also important. Why do people conjure the dead? Curiosity about the afterlife or to gain power? When in fact, we are supposed to just trust God. When we ask a saint to pray for us, we don't expect the saint to come down and discuss the matter with us. We expect our prayer to be answered in the normal way. Either what we pray for will happen or it won't. Either way, we understand the answer came from God, just like when we ask living people to pray for us. But the biggest difference between asking a saint to pray for you and conjuring the dead is the saints are not dead. They are alive. Jesus said so. Luke 20:37-38. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And Jesus himself conversed with Moses and Elijah, Matthew 17:2-3. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now at least Moses had died. Elijah didn't. He was taken up alive into heaven. Though some believe that Moses' body was taken up as well like Elijah. Well, if being assumed into heaven gives a pass, then we can pray to the Virgin Mary because she was assumed into heaven. But my point is this. Jesus fulfilled the law, which means he did not break any of it. He doesn't get a pass because of his divinity. He would not have allowed the conversation with Moses and Elijah if it was breaking the law. Look, would you say that a widow who goes to her husband's grave and begins talking to him is conjuring the dead? Of course not. Do you think he can actually hear her, or is this a futile exercise? I think most people, including myself, would say, yes, he can hear her. Okay, that's all we're doing when we ask saints to pray for us. But how can Mary hear and pray for all those requests? Thousands, if not millions, of Catholics are praying the rosary at any given time. A mere human cannot absorb all of that. But she doesn't need to be divine in order to do it. First of all, if all 1.35 billion Catholics prayed the rosary at once, that's still a finite number and not infinite. If being in heaven were like being on earth, then you would have a point. Being in heaven, the saints are not limited by their bodies, and when they get their bodies back, they will have glorified, unlimited bodies like Jesus, which, by the way, has already happened to Mary. Jesus still retains his body and human nature. Would you say that about Jesus? Mary and the saints are able to respond to all those prayers because God gives them that ability. Now, you might say, what's the point to God giving them the ability to hear all those prayers and then pass them on back to him? That seems redundant. Well, your friend can't pray for you either without God giving him the grace to do so. Okay, so why go to saints in heaven for prayer instead of living Christians? Well, it doesn't have to be an either or. Go to a Latin Mass a half hour early and you will see several people praying the rosary together. And of course, you can ask your friends to pray for you as well as the saints. But consider this. James 5:16 says, "The prayer of a righteous man or woman has great power in its effects." We know the saints are righteous. We cannot be so sure about the guy sitting next to us in the pew. Certainly he's not as righteous as the saints. But more than that, if he's not in a state of grace, his prayers will do nothing. So the risky thing is to pray without the saints. Until my next video, God bless.